known and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. Your holy name. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. And as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, by his authority I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Glorious God, your generosity waters the world with goodness, and you cover creation with abundance, awakening in us a hunger for food that satisfies both body and spirit. And with this food, fill all the starving world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
From Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You are near to all who call upon you, to all who call upon you faithfully. You watch over all those who love you, but all the wicked you shall destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless our holy name forever and ever. A reading from Romans. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place. The hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over in broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of our Lord. So I have a question for you this morning. How would you describe your disposition? Are you a half full kind of person? You know, the kind of person with plenty of positive energy, even when the most difficult things in life happen. That half full kind of person says, okay, all will be well. Or maybe you are the half empty kind of person. You know, the kind that gets stuck on dwelling in, well, what if this happens? We ought to, we should, we have to. Negative potential looms large for the half empty person because it's going to weigh and weigh down upon us. You know, I think I grew up in a half empty kind of household. Because we're always looking at the negativity, and there were so many infightings, things going on, and it's taken most of my life to claim that I think I'm mostly now a half full kind of person. The different kind of disposition. A couple weeks ago, I went to Fort Wayne to meet my stepmom, because she lives by Valparaiso, so that's kind of halfway between Columbus and Valparaiso. And while we were there, I had contacted an old high school friend. Now, not that we're so old. I don't mean it that way. What I mean is, I hadn't seen her for 50 years almost. And so that's kind of historic old, you know? And so she came. We were so excited. We were all going to share dinner together. And this friend of mine, what a talker. She could lead the conversation. She's in sales, you know, and she's really good at it. She can compliment you on everything that you have and always make you come out feeling so, so wonderful. But through the course of the conversation, my stepmom didn't have much to say. Well, she couldn't get much to say in because the two of us would start talking back and forth. And do you remember? And oh, this and oh, that, you know, all these things were happening. And then we paused at one moment when we realized, because we'd asked questions and given answers, what had happened over these 50 years in our lives. And we discovered the same traits that brought us together in high school as friends lived in our lives. Even though we were in separate circles and doing separate kind of things, we still lived the same kind of values and the same traits. I thought that was a very interesting phenomenon. When dinner was finished and we parted our ways with my friend, my stepmom says, you know, she sure has a sunny disposition. And when I heard little pieces of her story, there were things in there that maybe weren't so sunny. You know, and when she talked about what her hopes and dreams were from high school and where she went into college and what she was going to do, and now she's a sales associate, which was totally opposite of where she was headed. But all the way along, every step, she would say, but you know, this is good. This came out good. What's your disposition? I think some of it is inherited. Some of it's learned. And some of it's grown into by the grace of God. Are you a half full or half empty kind of person? The scripture this morning, the feeding of the 5,000, is such a vital story. All four gospels tell it almost exactly the same, which is pretty remarkable because we expect Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptics, to be pretty similar. But John out here, he kind of does his own thing, but he's jumped in on this one. And most often, when I read the commentaries and I've listened to people speak on this, they talk about the question about mission and ministry and what we're going to do and how we're going to be feeding others. But something else struck me over the last couple of weeks as I was reading this. The very first line of this scripture. Did you notice it? Let me see if I can get back to it here. Too far. Now, when Jesus heard, now in the translations that I have at home, I had to go back up and look. What did he hear? I mean, we have in parentheses here about the beheading of John the Baptist. So when Jesus heard about his cousin's murder, he went away by himself. He did self-care, right? He knew that this was so grievous to his spirit. I mean, the historic human Jesus goes through every emotion that we do. I can imagine he went into a lonely place. Well, he got in a boat and went into the sea and crossed that sea. How would you respond if your cousin had been murdered? And the head served up as a reward to someone else. I can imagine that Jesus wept as he's in the boat in the middle of the sea. Maybe he cried out loud, God, why? Why did this have to happen? Nobody's out in the sea to hear him, so he could cry out as loudly as he wanted. I can imagine that he prayed and wept. I can imagine he sought God's comfort and strength to reorient his grieving heart. Don't we do that? When we get some devastating news, I mean, imagine Jesus remembering his cousin. The last Old Testament prophet, John, and the Messiah, Jesus. They didn't live all that far away from each other because we know that Mary went with haste to her cousin Elizabeth when she was first pregnant. She stayed there for 3 months. I can imagine that the boys kind of grew up together. Because their moms seemed close. Maybe they had a lot of conversations. Maybe they played some pranks on other people. Maybe they studied the Torah together. Maybe they had deep conversations about who and how God's presence was so miraculously present in both of their births. I can imagine Jesus' heart being very saddened and heavy with grief. But he finally got off of the lake and he reached the other side. And lo and behold, the crowds, he was out in the lake long enough that the crowds went around to the other side of the lake. They walked there. It says very clearly that they, on foot, they went to the other side of the lake. They were looking for more miracles. They didn't quite get it. I didn't quite understand who Jesus was. But they wanted to be with him. I wonder in that moment if Jesus' cup was half empty or half full. Or was it overflowing even in grief? Whatever it was, when he saw the crowds, great compassion welled up within him. He mustered the energy of God. He spoke with the people, healed the sick, cured the lame. He spoke and preached. The power went out of him as he did miracles for the folks, even though just hours before, he was grieving so deeply. How we present and live our faith, even in the most difficult moments of life, is a testimony to the strength of God within us. Stephen Covey Moore wrote a book it's rather old now, about Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And in this, he has a section of moving from the scarcity mentality, that half-full cup, the other way around, the half-empty cup, to an overflowing cup of abundance. He says the half-full kind of people, those that only have that negative outlook, that always have to have the third and fourth and fifth plan in case things don't work out. Here's what is, here's what if, here's what we can do so we can make sure that we feel comfortable enough. He says these half-empty kind of people only see from limitations, only see from, this is as far as we can see and that is it. And they don't look for the opportunity of grace for what God may be. So he asks us to focus on the positive. He says, surround your people, also people with that are positive people. Because, you know, if we're like Jesus in that boat and we're in this place of deep grief, how does it help when somebody comes and says, don't worry, you'll get over it. It's going to get all better real soon. Don't worry. Give yourself a little time, but get back out there. It'll be fine. When those platitudes come at us, they kind of go right under our heart and out the ears, because they don't do much for our grieving heart. And yet, when someone comes with that more half full or overflowing cup of God's presence, and just listen to us weep, sit and hold our hand. This week, when my mom calls me, she's 91 years old, she calls me every Friday because she has to prepare for the conversation, you know, because she's not quite processing the same way she used to. And so if I call her on a spur of a moment, she's not able to have that kind of conversation. So we know every Friday at 10 o'clock, my mother will come, and she's ready. She's thought about how she's going to do this conversation. So when she called me this week, she said to me, she said, so I have a question for you. You've probably done this a lot of times. So one of my friends is really grieving. Her husband just died, and it was a surprise death. I don't know what to do. Don't know what to say to her. So... You've been with people. What do you say? And all I could say is, well, Mom, just be with her. Just let her know that you love her. And that you're right. It really stinks. It is very unfair. Help her to grieve well. And if you can, say a prayer out loud for her, so that even though she can't claim her own faith right now, she can hear you claim her faith. Mom was like, well, I pray for her all the time. I said, yes, but there's a difference when we sit with another and we pray out loud with them. That's different than, I'm praying for you, and going a separate way. Surrounding ourselves with people that are positive, that are at least half full, if not overflowing, with the presence of God, shifts the scenario from winner and loser. That's the half-empty people. We want to be better than, got to strive, even at the expense of another. Shift that scenario so we're looking for the best, that we both become winners. That's what Jesus is doing. Shifting the scenario when the disciples are coming and they say, well, we have nothing. I mean, we found this little guy that has a few loaves of bread, a couple of fish, but that's nothing compared to all of these people that are here. Interesting, the gospel doesn't tell us that they don't have the means or the resources to feed themselves. The gospel just says Jesus wanted to do it. Jesus wanted to nurture them. And so here's the disciples, these half-empty kind of folks of faith. We don't have anything. We don't have enough. Scarcity mentality. Jesus says, give it to me. Oprah Winfrey says, if you look at what you have, you will always have more. If you look at what you don't have in life, you will never have enough. I know what that's like. I grieve terribly when my children left home. I mean, it was at least a year or two. My heart was so broken. It was the three of us. I mean, for as long as we can remember, my children were raised by me and they were gone. My cup didn't just feel half empty. It felt pretty darn empty. And over the course of my grieving, when I began to look at what I still had, we still saw each other. Quite often they dropped in because I'm not the only one who was grieving. As much as we wanted to be apart so they could grow up and claim their adulthood, we also wanted to be together. If you look at what you don't have, you'll never have enough. If I looked at, oh my gosh, how quiet the house is, how lonely it is here. Oh my gosh, I feel like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Oh my, oh bother. You know, but if I looked at what I had, two adult children that wanted to be with me, that drove for times to come, and I drove and they would be excited to see me. If I looked at that, there was enough. There was enough. Training our minds to see possibility rather than defeat. That's what Jesus is doing in this story for himself and for the disciples, for the crowds, so that they began to see that even when we feel defeated, even when we think, what is one vote? What is one kind word? What is one free meal? Is it a drop in the bucket of all of the suffering and violence? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because offered to God, blessed and broken, shared, given to others, God magnifies it into beautiful nourishment. The question becomes, how do we stay at least half full, if not overflowing, with the presence of God? Jesus trusted even in the face of death. Jesus trusted God's boundless compassion and extravagant love. His entire life, death, and resurrection testifies to the truth, to the trust of God's radical love for humanity. Jesus anticipated this Eucharistic life that is given to all of us as we bless, whoops, as we break, as we give, and are nourished from the inside out of our lives, nourished so that we can live out loud the action of God's love. I recommend a book to you, Boundless Compassion, Creating a Way of Life by Joyce Rupp. She says there's exercises, prayer ways, at the end of each chapter, how we begin to have a cup always at least half full, to not overflowing always with the abundance of God's grace. First, we begin where Jesus began, with self-compassion. Sometimes that's the hardest thing in the world to do. It's easier to have more compassion for somebody else than it is for our own selves sometimes. She says, start with self-compassion so that we can truly have God's compassionate heart for others. God's compassionate heart for creation. And God's compassionate heart for God. Do you ever think about that? How are you compassionate for God? With how much time you spend? How you testify to God's goodness even when your heart is grieving and your life feels less than half full? How are we gracious and compassionate to God, saying, here I am, fill me with your extravagant love so that others know how you love them? May it be so for you and for me and for us together. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the Church, those in need, and all of creation. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, Brenda, our presiding minister today, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God. You gather your church together by the Holy Spirit. Inspire all the baptized to proclaim your abundant love throughout the world. Guide us in the mission of the gospel through word and deed. Hear us, O God. You cherish your creation from the smallest microbe to the largest mountain. Protect fragile ecosystems. Send favorable weather. Supply food and water to nourish creatures. And raise us up to care for all you have created. Hear us, O God. You desire peace and justice in the world. Instill within all political leaders your desire, support the work of international peace organizations, and provide relief for those in war-torn areas. Hear us, O God. You comfort those who are hurting, accompany those who are alone, heal those who are sick, provide for all who hunger or thirst, console the bereaved, bring joy to the sorrowful, and attend to all who call on you, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Susie, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Donna, Melina, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, Bill, John, Kelly, Mary, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. You place in us within communities for mutual support and love. Reveal yourself to us in worship, fellowship, and ministry with our neighbors. Provide for feeding ministries and food banks in our area, that we share your abundance with all who hunger. Hear us, O God. You have placed before us examples of faithful living who have witnessed to your promises throughout time and space. Rouse us by their lives of service and dedication to be your hands and feet in this world. Hear us, O God.
Whom we pray, in the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, we praise you and glorify you with worship and adore you. You formed the earth from chaos. You encircled the globe with air. You created fire for warmth and light. You nourished the lands with water. You molded us in your image. And with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you bless the Israelites and cherish them as your own, that also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit. You called to us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks. He gave it to all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of your creation. We remember his life lived for others, his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming, when with the world made perfect through your sin, through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more. Amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, holy and merciful one, holy and compassionate, send upon us and upon this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food. Nurture in us the fruits of your Spirit, that we may be for all a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world. Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions as Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing until needy no longer or bound to you in love. We feast forever in triumph of the Lamb, through whom all glory and honor is yours. O God, O living one, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The table is ready. If those that are coming to help serve will come forward, please be seated at this time.
Thank you.
and keep you in grace. Amen.
Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Those that will be taking our communion kits to our homebounds, if you would please come forward at this time. Let us pray. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who are set forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are homebound. In your love and care, nourish and strengthen those who will receive this sacrament, and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence. Through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much. Are there announcements before we have our final?
Good Lord willing, next Sunday, I get to introduce the community to a very special gem that's going to be coming to us from Pennsylvania, Elva Hurst. Elva will be putting on her artistic abilities here at the church next Sunday. We'll have our regularly scheduled service at 10 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, there will be a catered lunch for all those that want to stay, no charge. That will give her time to set up her artistry. And at noon, she will be doing a special program, which will hopefully enhance and enlighten your day also with entertainment. It's called Caring and Sharing. She is a delight. I hope you get a chance to talk with her personally to get to know her a little bit better. But I am very happy that she is going to be making her appearance here. And it's here for you to enjoy. Bring friends, neighbors, whomever. She is coming to share her love of Christ with all of us. Next Sunday, the big day. Thank you.
The only other announcement I know is thank you very much for having me back again this day. It's always a pleasure to worship with you, so thank you. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John Lutheran Church, Windfall, is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.